So, welcome. So I'm calling this little have a chat, which is something my parents used to call me, have a chat, which is quite ironic because my mother could talk the arm off a chair. But I'm calling it get in my ears, or gimme for short, pretty much. It's just gimme, gimme, gimme. I want to know everything. So welcome, priest of Aphrodite. How are you?
I am fabulous, as always, although I must say, given the date we're recording here and what happened over the last few days in the audio hosting space, which is not big, it's been a little unusual and exciting. So, yeah, I've been running around helping people.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's let people know who you are, what you do, where you come from, and, you know, all the gory details. So, first of all, your name, Priest of Aphrodite, what's that? What's that about? How did that come about?
Well, you know, it was kind of half a joke because I knew I wanted to do content that was really based on women. So it's supposed to mean like worshiper of women.
Oh,
so that's
I like it.
Yeah, that's where it came from. But the problem is that it ends up being really long on Reddit, and I guess more people than I expected are not familiar with Greek history, you know? So, like a lot of people are like, what? And then, of course, too many people associated it with things like Catholic priests and bad jokes. And I was like, I didn't even think about that, right? I'm an aficionado of history, and so, you know, that's just, I thought it would be kind of funny, right? So, and people don't get it. But yeah, that's what it was supposed to be. In retrospect, you know, I should have done like, you know, Big Mac Daddy DILF or something. I don't know. Like something that was just more simple. So I don't know. Something like that.
I like it. Did you name yourself going into this, coming into this space? Did you like set up this your username and your profile to record audio?
Yeah, I did, but I did not understand the importance of branding in this space when I started, even just for casual hobbyists.
Yeah,
right. Like no idea about that, and it's actually paired with another name. So it's actually I had to find two paired names. So
what do you mean by that?
That's complicated.
Okay. All right. We can put a pin in that. That's fine.
So yeah, if people dig through my history enough, they'll see it. But yeah, I actually had to find two names simultaneously, not for me.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So
I think I know what you're alluding to. That's fine.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, I had to find not just one thing that was available, but two. And anyway, so that ended up being trickier than I expected. But yeah, I think if I was smarter, like I remember, I guess I know too many guys that have come and gone, but they come in with kind of interesting names and, you know, come and go. And I was just like, oh, well, but they were memorable, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Okay, cool.
There's some interesting names out there, right? I came across a follower started following me, and I'm going to give it, I'm assuming it's a male, give him a shout out right now because it's one of the most creative names I have seen, Rumple Foreskin. And I lost my mind at that. Just to the point where I messaged them. I just went, kudos to you. You make me laugh. You know, that's, I like it. I've got another follower whose name is Gash Lasher. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right. Like those are clever. I had a follower come on and comment, and her name was Honey Breasts. And I just thought, oh my Lord, I could do a complete audio about honey breasts. You know, I mean, that's just beautiful, right?
So, it does. Yeah. I visualize it straight away.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah,
Priest, how long have you been in this space, if I might ask? How long have you been recording or kicking around these woods?
Sure. So that's a little complicated. And I guess what's interesting to me, in fact, I was just telling another writer, a long-term friend of mine, it's weird to me because I don't feel like I've necessarily been here that long. but I will have been here 2 years shortly. And not quite my cake day. That's another, it's in January, but sure. Here we are almost December. But I was involved in the community before that, but under my real name,
okay,
like real person.
Yeah. Right.
Because I ended up, you know, of course, everybody wants to know how you got here. And to me, this is old news because it was, you've probably heard it on the podcast if you listened. Yeah. And it was, I've done it on a couple AMAs, but I actually started trying to privately contract for basically what we would call a commission. But to me, I was trying to find somebody to write basically a short erotica story for someone in my real life, right? As a gift.
Yeah.
And then produce it kind of like an Audible track, right?
Right. And as in you would record it personally?
No. Heavens, okay. No. I have a terrible voice. I would never do such a thing as that. That would be terrible. So,
you're a funny guy.
I mean, I would now, but you know, totally would now, but that's sort of the end of the story. Right. But so, yeah, I actually, came across, a website. I'd never been on Reddit, didn't know anything about it. And I talked to the purveyor of this website and basically, I mean, look, you can only give roses or jewelry or whatever so many times. Right. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, what's more personal, right? What's more individual? And I thought, well, what if I could have someone write this kind of cool erotic based story, but with somebody you loved and cared about as the central character, right?
Wow.
Kind of idea. So that was my idea for a gift. And I started working on it and I'm a researcher. And anyway, so that eventually led me to another website that was more public that you could find on Google because, you know, it was a fee site. And I talked to the owner and said, hey, here's what I'd like. And I'm willing to pay. I mean, I had no idea, right? I was just like, well, I'm willing to pay. You know, I didn't know if that was $1,000 or $10, literally. No idea. I just said, I'm willing to pay whatever the going rate is. And what I didn't know is apparently this person just turned around and posted it on a subreddit. Again, ooh. I had no idea they existed. So, but it had my real information out there, right? Because I was using my real address. I wasn't on Reddit. Okay. So people started emailing me, which I later came to know as GWA Creators.
Right. But
it was just by email. Like, I didn't know they existed. And so I first got to know people that I came to know later, like I said, individually through email and other things for several months. This went on.
Right.
Well, not months, maybe. I don't know, a couple. But one of them eventually said, kind of late to the game, because I was already talking to a few people about writing and producing and so on. And, you know, what would it cost and what's involved and what, you know, what are the parameters? Like, you know, what will you do? You know, because that was pretty awkward conversations if you don't know, because I'd never seen the wikis or kind of understood what was going on. And I got to know a couple of really cool people. One of them, she's off Reddit now, but Zyda Midnight, really got to know her beautiful British voice. She's still a great friend. To this day. And as far as I know, we still have the only MF for MF collab ever done, posted. So, which is different, you know, it's a four individual one, right? Anyway, I think it's pretty cool. Plus it was my first collaboration and it was live, the whole thing. So was scared to death meeting this sort of legend in my mind when I did it with her, but and she has a beautiful, beautiful voice still to this day. But I actually got to know her outside of Reddit, you know, and actually know about her situation and her life a little bit because I was sharing what I wanted, right? Because we're going to write this story, or she was. And anyway, so one of the people late to the game dropped me this, said, hey, check out my profile. And it said R and then had this big long thing. And I'm like, what the hell is R/blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, what's that about? Yeah.
Exactly, in my email. And I clicked on it, and of course, boom, I was on GWA and Reddit, and I was like, oh my heavens. This blends together, you know, erotic stories, technology, and I'm a huge technology nerd. I used to work in the audio industry. I've done, you know, a certain level of mic work and DJ work and stuff for over 20 years. So, like, it was pretty And I'm also a huge D&D guy. So the idea of blending fantasies with technology, with sexy talk, like for me, that's nirvana, right? That's like hobby nirvana.
I was just
going to
say, did you just find nirvana?
For me, I did, right? Because it's like, yeah. I mean, it's like you can exercise your creativity and also your sexiness. Where else can you do that? You know? And then the chance to, so that's why I originally went, oh my goodness. So yeah, within like a week, I think I had a microphone and then that wasn't good enough. So like 8 days later, I had a Blue Yeti and, you know, then like by 3 or 4 weeks later, I had this Audio Technica that I'm on now. You know, yeah. So, and you know, my kids didn't even ask like about an eyelash. They're like, oh, Dad has a bunch more audio gear in his office. Like, who cares? You know? Yeah.
Like, so that's where you record in your office?
Yeah. So I've worked from home. I have several businesses that I've run, managed and developed. Well, less now than I used to, but still more than one that keeps me busy. But for most of those, most of the time, I get to work in a home office. And so it's a dedicated home office space. I have like a huge monitor so I can bring up Audacity on one section, you know, Reddit in another, and then the scripts in another, and have it all up on my screen. And then like I have a tripod mounted mic and separate controller and all that. So that's over time, as I talked to people and learned, I realized if I'm going to do this, investing a few, cause even then it's relatively inexpensive, right? Like some guys are out golfing and they're going to spend thousands of dollars on golf equipment.
Yeah. This
the
is
fact that I might've spent $300 or $400 on a mic, like big whoop, you know, most everything else is free. So anyway, that's how I end up kind of doing this. And, I do it mostly for my own creativity, right? Like it's just my creative expression. And what's backwards though, is I was doing it for people IRL, like people I know in my real life who know me for real. So it's kind of backwards from the anonymity thing. And then it's been interesting to find a handful of people, you know, throughout the world and get messages from, you know, somebody in India or, you know, or Scandinavia or, you know, wherever, right? Australia, right? Like, that are just and connect with people from around the world that also either A, enjoy the voice for the fans, or like you and I, where we've kind of made a friendship and share a certain kinship because we sort of look at production the same way, you know? Anyway, it's been cool.
Yeah. And with that, with your content that you create, is it what sort of content? Are you like mainly safe for work? Are you not safe for work? Are you a combination? Are you, what could people expect if they were going to click on one of your audios?
So, I'm probably 90% scripts. When I first started, I tried to balance out probably 70-30, probably about 70% erotic content, 30% not. But over time, I think I've become more comfortable with the strictly, you know, NSFW content.
Yeah.
And I get, there's a handful of people that I interact with that give me direct, you know, feedback, and they, again, some IRL, and they prefer that. So pretty much I've gravitated to what I get feedback on, right? So at this point, I'm almost 100% NSFW. I don't really do hard stuff, so like rapey rape scripts, like I don't like that. I have done some on request for friends, which is kind of a weird thing to say, like, oh, here's your really rough audio of me roughing you up because I love you. You know, I mean, that's kind of
friend,
kind of messed up. Yeah, my friend, right? That's kind of weird, but some of those aren't private or aren't public. Actually, I've done it more just for friends, but I actually have done a lot of work with trauma survivors in real life as part of one of my volunteer functions. And so I just can't, I really can't in earnest, like get into doing a hardcore non-consensual content, you know? Yeah. Now, on the other hand, I've been part of like FetLife and the kink community most of my adult life. And so when it comes to the variety of what might be considered quote unquote rougher content by young people, or what I just call kink play, I'm like, I do that IRL like a lot,
Yeah.
So I'm super comfortable with all sorts of non-consensual bondage, you know, things that some people think might be weird. And I'm like, well, I guess if you've never done it, but again, if you understand the rules and the format and negotiated boundaries, like yes. that's pretty safe stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. So you really are coming at it from a different angle because you have this real life aspect of it, which I find quite fascinating yeah. because for most creators, I would imagine, or VAs at least in this space, that, you know, it's this is where we come to indulge our desires and fantasies, and you're just doing you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, there are very few things that I have done. Like there's a series I did with Mooney. Moon Dance with me, for those of you, sorry, he's my friend. Mm-hmm. So we tease each other mm-hmm. back and forth, but for those that aren't fans or followers. So, and we actually, I need to produce the final series of it, but because there's two right now, but it's basically about meeting. I fly to London, and because he's a Brit, although he's not in London, mm-hmm. but we go to an underground club and it's based on a real club in London, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yep. Anyway, it's hence the Triskelion symbol. For those that don't know the BDSM market. So mm-hmm. anyway, yes, it's based on a real club in London. And the idea is that we go there to basically team up on his new sub that he wants to introduce right. me to.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple parts to that. And then we're the end of the second one, we're leaving the club and talking about going to his place, and we're in the process of writing and producing the last part of that. He's on hiatus right now, so mm-hmm. we're not working on it, but probably will sometime in January or so when he's back again. But that's an example, you know, that's there are elements of that that are taken from real life, but that's obviously I haven't flown to London in the middle of COVID to meet him at a club, right?
Sure,
not literal, but some of the rest of it is. So
it's based on real life.
To some degree,
there's reference to real life, I guess. Yeah,
there is, right? To some yeah. degree, there is. So, but I mean, that one's pretty fantastical. And then I'm a huge sci-fi nerd, so I mean, I've done a number of Star Wars scripts, and uh-huh. I did a Flash Gordon one just for fun because I remember the movie.
Yes,
you know, just kind of, and that's not, again, that's not for everybody. Honestly, those are kind of self-indulgent. But for the fans yeah. that like that content, that, you know, they love it. But it's a narrow segment, right? But it's just me.
It is, yeah.
For me, it's just stuff that I like, oh, this is fun. You know, I enjoy doing it. Like there's a script mm-hmm. I haven't done that I have saved. I'm hoping to find some time in the holidays here to do it. But it's about a doctor in the like early 1900s. Performing a hysteria treatment on a woman.
Okay.
And I don't know, again, young people might not know this, but the basically inability to orgasm was believed yes. to cause hysteria and cause yes. women all these trouble. And it's a real thing. And
yes.
so I actually went and looked up, and so somebody wrote a script, and you could just do the script, but me, I went and looked up all the tools to try yeah, and make okay. an yeah. accurate representation. There are steam-powered fucking machines and steam-powered vibrators from the early part of the century. And of course right. I got lost for like 2 hours looking at them. I'm just like, what the, anyway. So, you know, anyway, so yeah, there's just, yeah, I think it is right. But I like history and stuff. So that's just an example of, so anyway, but I finally found a picture I could use, but it's of a real patented vibrating product from the early part of the century. I mean, it's just, it's crazy wow. stuff.
Yeah. How often do you record or post and where do you post?
So I am mainly on Gone Wild Audio's mm-hmm. Gone Wild, sometimes on Audible, although their rule change has made it kind of awkward, if I'm being mm-hmm. honest.
Yeah.
Still fuzzy on that. Like it has to be exclusive over a certain time. I don't know.
Yeah.
If the content is rougher, I tend to push it on Dark Side Playground.
Yeah.
Those Audio Chills, as you know, we're yep. both fans of the folks there. So I put some content there. I used to post more casual stuff on Pillow Talk mm-hmm. and even Audio Candy, but that one's kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So yeah, I mean, and then I have a subreddit. So there's some, I do some, you know, shorter content or other stuff that's not like really a full audio or just a short improv or, you know, me goofing around. So that just goes on the subreddit. So
yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. And do you monetize in any way your content, or is it all, you know, have at it? It's all free. What's your approach to that?
I don't, because again, for me, this is strictly about being creative, right? It's like,
sure. Yeah.
I'm getting out a bunch of acrylic colors and I'm freaking splashing stuff on canvas because I'm emotional or I'm upset or I'm happy. Right. But it just happens to be audio. So for me, it's strictly about getting, you know, that artistic creative experience. And this might seem weird to some people, but because I'm a super techno nerd, part of the art for me is the editing and production.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people, they think just the vocal part, but for those people that have listened, I mean, like I did an audio where I'm supposed to be, speaking of Star Wars, Admiral Thrawn, and he's supposed to be up close to the head of the listener talking in the ear. So I had to do that one.
Yeah.
And then there's supposed to be one stormtrooper, as the, not to give the audio away, but it's been out a while, at some point, and this is a prisoner. So it's kind of rapey, kind of not, but it's kind of like, did she intentionally get caught because she wants to meet him? You know, it's sort of questionable. So at some point he commands this stormtrooper to, you know, basically fuck her. Well, I had to, it's not in the script, but I felt like that needed to be in there. So I had to record separately sounds of the stormtrooper doing his thing. Uh-huh. And so if you listen to the audio, you'll hear that, but that's in the other like space, like, you know, like that's away from her. And then later on in the audio, he invites all of the stormtroopers in the room to basically step closer and jerk off. Well, that happens also in space, but left and right to her. So I've actually had to try and design a 360 soundstage, so to speak, to duplicate what's going on in that audio with the combination. So to me, that's fun and challenging. Plus, at one point, I'm narrating five simultaneous characters in that audio.
Right.
Five. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, plus this. Well, and I have to say, there are also four wet tracks. So, and some of them are at distance, right? And they're in a room that is supposed to provide space. So there's certain things you do with the frequencies and the way the echo works and so on. Plus, of course, then the stormtroopers in his helmet. So what's going on?
Yeah.
Right. So then you've got to do all that from both a VA standpoint and from an editing standpoint, because some of that's done with voice work. Some of that's done with editing. So
editing,
like, if it's done right, it sounds seamless and you don't notice. If you screw that stuff up, then something stands out. But yeah, from a technical standpoint, that's a that's a 9-layer track. If that means anything to somebody
it
editing
does.
Right now.
Well, it does to me. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But for coming from somebody who doesn't even edit or listen, I don't listen to myself even. I'm just like, hit that record button, upload that sucker and post it. I think that's quite exceptional.
So I enjoy the technical challenges of saying, okay, to achieve this script the way that either I envisioned it or the writer envisioned it, what does it take technically? And that's one reason I do enjoy some of the sci-fi scripts or fantasy scripts, is because often they require a lot of more complex layered sound effects. Now,
gives you range, doesn't it?
You can't do that every week. Like the time involved to do that is a lot. So it's fun, but that's a lot. And sometimes, like you, I just love to hit record, either do an improv or a modification of a script and keep it easy. So it kind of depends. If I'm on my game, my goal is to do two, maybe three a week if I'm feeling good, like a bonus on a Sunday, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling good. But I also, as I said, I'm a little older, you know, I have kids, I have business responsibilities and
real life, adulting.
I do. And so there are times when I've been off for a month or two and just not had time to make it, you know, because of stress or something else. So that happens too.
Yeah, real life sort of gets in the way of our hobbies from from time to time.
Well, it does. So I personally don't do things like Patreon, and not because, I mean, number one, I don't need the money. Like, that would be a distraction to my tax guy, I think. But you know, like, I'd have to pay more to have it figured in the tax. He's like, "What's this?"
You know, I tell you, I've actually just had that very conversation with my accountant last week. And she said, "What's Patreon?" I said, "Well, this is what it is. But what do you do on Patreon?" "Well, this is what I do." And she's like, "Oh my. Oh, all right. Uh-huh." Like, I said, "Would you like a link to it? I can send you a link." Because I'm very open. I have no qualms. And fortunate enough to be in that space. And it won't impact me negatively. It was an interesting conversation.
I'm kind of in that same boat. Like I said, where I work for myself, and I'm not out, you know, trying to find a job or be in college. Like, I'm not as worried about those things, but I don't want the pressure of having to produce, you know, one audio a week or two audios. Sure. I just don't. Like I said, this is strictly creative. I've made that mistake in my life. I've had a couple of different hobbies that I turned into businesses and stopped enjoying the hobby, and I don't want to do that.
There you go. Yeah. It's no longer fun, is it? It becomes work. Right. That's the balance I'm sort of trying to find at the moment. Do you do commissioned work at all, like custom audios for people if they put a request in?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. Like, I do, but not for money.
Right. Interesting.
So, like, if somebody said, you know, I've and mostly it's for friends or fellow creators.
Yeah,
they're like,
you've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, they say, "Hey, I'm having trouble sleeping and I like your voice. Would you do this?" And I'm like, sure. I turn on the mic. I say what I'm thinking or my advice to them. You know, like, I have done one, and I didn't charge for it, but it was, and it's, I think it's still somewhere in my library. It was actually for a young lady that said, "You sound kind of like my dad." And she said, she actually was messaging me and kind of explained her situation. I won't go on about it, but she said, "Would you send me something where he knocks on," she was estranged from her dad, divorced and so on, and said, "where he knocks on my door and says he approves of me."
Oh my, and, oh, oh. Oh, hang on. No, that's, oh, that hits hard. Oh gosh. Oh.
And so I said, "Help me understand a little," sorry, tears me up still to think about it, that she asked me to do this. And I said, I would be honored. I can't believe you'd ask me. And she said, "Well, you kind of sound like him, and you sound kind of authoritarian, and you're obviously older." And I'm like, "Well, thanks, I guess. Is that good?" Yeah. She says, no, it's good. I like your voice. I'm like, okay, cool. And so she didn't even like give me a script exactly. And somebody had written kind of some lines, I guess, on she'd made an open request. And so I had some lines, but mostly I just had to improv it. Now, I have the opportunity to be a father of girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about what that would be like, you know, I wasn't in their life or I didn't approve of them, right? Because I'm very involved in my kids' lives. And so I try to think about what this, and she was a little older, what this gal would have been through. Anyway, so I tried to think about that. I had trouble doing the audio, to be honest, but I did. And, you know, I mean, obviously the special effects are easy, right? Knock, knock, you know, "Hi, I'm sorry. Yeah. I've been a deadbeat dad." It's like, I think how it opens, basically. And, you know, then goes on about how proud he is of her achieving things and so on and so forth. And so it was private for a while. And then eventually, you know, I said, "Hey, do you mind? There's probably other people in the same boat. Do you mind if I make it public?" Mm. And she said, "No, that's fine. You know, I'm good." Because it was after a few months after I did it. So it's public now, but it was just sent to her privately originally. But so, yeah, like, that kind of stuff is really cool. And I do have another one. Actually, it's for a rape trauma survivor. And that's kind of a longer and more heartbreaking story. But so I have done stuff like that, but it's... How do I say? It's not, "Will you moan to my name while you jerk off?" You know, that's not.
Yeah, sure.
It's not.
Sure. And this is the beauty of this space that we occupy, right? And we sort of contribute to for our own creative outlet, but realizing the impact of you know, us moaning into mics and doing what we do. It's I think it's far bigger than that. I was listening to an interview of another male VA recently talking about he had been asked to create an audio for someone who's in a wheelchair because that just wasn't out there. Didn't feel seen or, it just wasn't represented. So they had, I think, commissioned this audio. But you're right, I think, putting it out there publicly, you just don't know who that might touch and who might just really need to hear that, those words. So it's far more than just, jerking off and whatever and everybody right. feeling good. There's that connection and the level of comfort and care that I know I go on about and on about and on about and on about, but it's, I feel quite privileged.
Well, I agree. Like I said, I felt very privileged when this gal kinds of things. I don't know if it's rule changes or just the dynamics of the subreddit, but I've seen less of that.
And being moderated and removed.
Yeah, right. Because they disagree with whether you didn't tag it X way because you said what. I'm just like, okay, if I want to talk about something, you can. So that's one reason I finally started my own subreddit. And I haven't put a lot of stuff there, but yeah, I'm very open to doing personally. I mean, that's what I've thought of. I've really struggled with, do I put out there open for commissions? Because ironically, I'm not looking for money, but if there's a project that interests me, I would love to do something interesting for people. I really do. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, it absolutely does. If you could provide something that could have a much deeper or much more significant impact or effect on somebody, it absolutely makes sense what you're saying. Yeah.
I've thought about this because I've heard it from a couple of people and some that I've written with when they've been younger and they've had like life situations, because I'm talking to them on Discord or whatever. And I'm like, well, if you were my kid, I'd say try this, this, or this. And they're like, oh, that's like dad advice. And so I'm like, well, should I start like internet dad advice on my subreddit? I don't know.
there was that creator called Internet Dad, who is no longer in this space. But I think there's. It's interesting because I absolutely do. I get those questions every now and then from younger males and actually a couple of females asking because clearly I am older as well. And I just think, why are you asking me? But
we should start a call-in show. This is, that's what we
yeah,
should
maybe
do.
We should just like, hey.
Just submit your question.
Mom and Dad are here. Let's have a chat.
Fireside chat, advice you should have received from your parents, but they were too afraid to tell you.
Yeah, because we will tell you straight. I think we could be onto something there, Priest. I really do.
I've really wondered about doing something like that, dating life advice or, how not to screw up your relationship in 10 days. I don't know, whatever, something like that. Just
like, how to get your shit in a pile.
pick up your room, kids, whatever.
I think there's something in that. I really do. I wanted to know, has the pandemic impacted you in any way and your ability to record all your time or your just this space for you? Or have you seen a change in your listenership or your, because I have. Yeah. So I'm just interested to know from your perspective, has it affected you in the audio space at all?
So I guess it seems to me you're asking two questions there, sort of. And one is, on the personal side, I already work from home in my office and was, alone 90% of the time. When I travel, that's different because I do have to travel like, outside the country, outside the U.S., I should say, this country. But when I'm here, I can do most all my work, by myself. So I don't have
coworkers.
Probably
not so much. Yeah.
Well, it went to zero, obviously, but that wasn't a huge change, right? It's like, instead of traveling once a quarter, I went to near zero for most of 2020. But what I made a conscious choice knowing that I was going to be locked even more so in my house, right? So less friends, stuff like that. And I'm in a more, I'm in a more flexible area from what I understand than some areas of the US, but even still, right. you know, we were encouraged to limit, you know, going to the store. There's long times where you weren't supposed to go out in the community, you know, to events or, you know, whatever, school, church, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But that went on for a while. And so I looked at it that, and my work, some of my work relates to travel industry, and mm-hmm. it basically shut off. So I pretty much had nothing to do. So
did that afford months. You more time to create then?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no question that really impacted that. So, I did. And I shouldn't say that. Some of my business went to zero. Some of my business actually increased because I have more than one.
Sure.
So it's not strictly true. So for a while I had more time and then I got busy and then, you know, that ended. But so I often have said that for me, and I think I mentioned this to you privately, I look at people that I've met that I make a intellectual or emotional connection with, like you, as my coworkers.
Yes.
So to speak. Because I don't have a water cooler in my home office
conversation
here to
space.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I'm a social person, okay, clearly. Mm-hmm. And so that social connectivity, even if it's in chat for a few minutes, or I really prefer to talk to people, means a lot to me. And so I've tried to make conscious effort, not just to make audios for fun, but when I find somebody that is, you know, I make a connection with, to make time for them in my life, if that makes, to make time for friendships, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
Even though they're coming from this interesting, strange place of GWA, I found some really enlightening, rewarding, unexpected, beautiful friendships with people. And that's just unexpected, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's it's something I didn't anticipate, I must say. But it's like I said, it's inspiring, and I find it motivates me, it encourages me, and it's, a delicious little side benefit. But I'm finding I value it more and more each day with the interactions that I do have, particularly with other creators. So,
So that definitely increased. I mean, on the audio space community side, and I won't wax on too long about this, but pre-COVID, GWA was really different than post-COVID. Really, really different. Mm. And a lot of those changes, I don't feel like were for the better. I mean, I think largely my guess is, because we don't have data really, but anecdotally, I assume what happened is just you had all these younger people who suddenly either weren't in college or weren't in high school or were just home. And what do you do with your home with the internet? You look for porn. And suddenly this mass influx of people end up on GWA looking for connection. And I get it.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think a lot of them were either really young or frankly underage, in my opinion.
Right. Interesting.
And
it
really changed the, and a lot of them, I think, were looking for some form of connection.
Absolutely.
I think it made a lot of difficulty for VAs that prior to that, we're just used to making audios and putting them out, you know?
Yeah.
And you might say something on, you know, the comments or whatever, but in my opinion, the expectations and the dynamics for sure are different. All the reasons for that, I've talked to different people who've been here longer than me, and there's lots of speculation. What I can tell you is it was different prior to COVID. It was kind of free. Make what you want, do what you want, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But man, by the end of COVID, woo, like the expectations are different. And you got to be a lot
as in the restrictions.
I think the expectations from some of the fans, and I think that's more true on the male side. And I think part of it is a lot of people, they did Patreons, they did Discord servers, right? And there are a lot of sketchy things that happen in those spaces from what I've read, because I don't do that, you know.
I don't
really interact with people outside of a few creators like yourself or writers that I've kind of developed a relationship with. My circle's, you know, kind of tight because I've been burned by a few people in this space, and I tightened it up. I kind of don't talk to a lot of people unless I kind of have a trust level for them. And that's absolutely apparently served me well, because a lot of guys are no longer around. So
this, yeah, it's quite a transient space, it seems, or it has been, is what I've sort of noticed over the past, I don't know, 9, 10, or since the beginning of this year, to be honest, particularly since the beginning, yep, of this year. It's, yeah, there's quite a, you get these, well, these young folks that come along and moan into a mic, and, you know, but amass, you know, a huge following very quickly. And I think I love listening to AMA. So I was listening to Ben in My Hands Audio, his interview just recently, oh, yesterday. And he actually nailed it, just saying you've got to check yourself and what your reasoning is for coming into this space. And if you're going to get, sure, into Discord servers and Patreon and, you know, end up with thousands of followers, you've really got to be mindful of your level of interaction and how you interact. And if you're coming in this space to hook up, it's going to, I think he said, it's going to go south pretty quickly. And I have to agree with him, because we're in a fantasy space, people, you know, and I don't have to say it very often. And fortunately, I don't seem to have the, and this is not an invitation to anybody listening, I don't seem to get a lot of unsolicited images or requests or, you know, inappropriate content doesn't seem to come into my inbox, which I'm grateful for. But at the same time, I set a very firm boundary and I think tone in that this is not acceptable. I am a person. I'm a living, breathing woman. Right. And I remember where the play and the pause button is one of the most valuable pieces of advice I once heard another VA say. And that's just remember. We are people behind the mic, and we owe you nothing, really. This is primarily of our own free will, and we all start out sharing free content. But I think with that, once creators start interacting with listeners, there needs to be some sort of accountability and responsibility taken.
The expectations change.
It has. And it really has, hasn't it?
And that's what I mean, is pre there's from, because and as you know, I ran a podcast for a while. And so I've talked to some people that were literal OGs, you know, well, 8 whatever years ago when this thing started. And, you know, they said some things that were very interesting. It's called Ghosts of GWA Past. I think it's still on Spotify and on my profile. I thought about removing it, but right now it's still there. But they actually said that, you know, connecting with people and basically flirting with people, okay, has been there since the very beginning. That is not new.
It's We're in on. A
but
sexual space.
What I think has happened, but what I think has happened is with the, and there was, you know, they said, in fact, there's Skype groups that they used to use, you know, in 07 when it started, or, or no, wait, what are we at? 12? Or 2014, whatever it was, 7, 8 years ago when it started. So they said they're still active Skype groups from the start of this.
Wow.
Which, like,
that's
like, people still use Skype, you know? So
people, what?
Right. So my point is that, Discord has made it a cheaper technology and faster to interact, but you can't strictly blame the technology, right? It's still people.
Oh, and, no, absolutely. It just affords them an easier access, I think.
It does. How I see it. And I think that easier bar has created some problems, but you're right. I agree that the VAs need to be careful with setting rules, and there's also responsibility on both sides, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know,
we're all grown ups. We should all be grown ups in this. We should all be over 18. Yeah.
And you would hope that people that are interacting realize for the most part, you know, you're interacting with this fantasy version of a person that they've created for Reddit, right? And yes, there's a person there, but you're right. I guess maybe I'm in a different spot. I've been in a committed relationship for a long time. So I didn't come here looking for any form of, you know, that sort of thing. But I guess a lot of, especially young people do. And I just think that has put pressure in that sort of hookup, as one person called it, parasocial dynamic.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't understand all the reasons. I understand maybe some of the motivators, but it's put pressure on everybody involved. And largely, I don't think it's been good, is my guess. So,
I have to agree with you on a lot of that. Fab. Yeah, so I'm not sure if you wanted to talk about what's sort of been going on in the audio hosting platform space over the past couple of days. It's been quite fascinating. I kind of sat back and read a little bit, and then I had to stop reading because I'm like, oh God, all right, okay. Just tell me where my stuff is and can I get it and can my people hear it? That's all I need to know. So you developed a platform, yes, a few months ago.
Yeah, I suppose that's the super, super short version.
Yeah. So, yes, that is.
So I guess I feel like if this is going to go out publicly, I should probably help people who are totally unfamiliar with any of the background understand a couple things.
Yeah.
So like I said, I come from a business development, even sometimes buying and selling businesses. And part of what I do is risk analytics professionally. And so just intuitively, anytime I come across a situation, my brain analyzes the risk. That's just part of, again, how my brain works and what I do with analytic data. And so when I realized that every single subreddit, and there's even other ones, so there's a lot of other people outside of the subreddits and even outside of Reddit in general that are using Soundgasm. It's been kind of interesting when I pulled data. There's people that record and put things on there that have nothing to do with what it was intended for. It's kind of interesting.
Right. Yeah.
But when I realized that was one host and funded entirely by one guy, right? Yeah. So this awesome dude has basically been lifting up and holding up this entire hobby solo, right?
Yeah.
So I tried to reach out and make a substantial donation because I was in a position to do that. Yeah. And was told basically doesn't accept donations after trying to chase that for about 6 months. And I was like, oh, well, that's okay. You know, like you're being annoying, go away. I was like, okay, fine, fine. I'll go back to my corner and my little, 23 followers at the time or whatever. And but still the back of my mind was constantly going like, hey, this is dangerous, right? Like alarm bells, man.
Risk,
this is my
yes.
professional. You know, like this is one system. Like, what happens if this guy gets COVID? You know, what happens if he just gets bored? You know, or what happens if there's more users? Because I was tracking the growth. I mean, when I first came, there was, I think there was only 400,000 or 500,000 users. You know, so just in 2 years, it's grown 50%, or
it's crazy
thereabouts. Yeah. Right. I've got some data on one of them. We actually did a whole podcast episode on that. I don't have the data in front of me, but that's why I kind of remember it. Cause I went and pulled the metric data, from it on the growth. Cause there's data out there on it. So anyway, somebody contradicts me. I don't have it memorized. I just remember it had grown a ton.
Yeah. We're ballparking.
You know, just,
Yeah.
So, I was just like, wow. Like because, and over the time from when I came just over the first year, Soundgasm had gotten slower, right? You could see, it's simply getting more use because it was designed when the subreddit was under 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I don't know what the usage was, but, you know, with 7,000, I mean, that's a tenth of the people today. So, you know, like that's just not, it's just not that big. Mm. And so I'm sure it's cost him more money, right? And created other problems. And again, it's all been done, you know, for free, basically, as a little sideline, you know. And so even if, I mean, I don't know anything about the owner, zero, nobody would tell me anything about it or even help me find a way to make a donation. I guess there is as of yesterday or whatever, but this was, you know, year and a half
prior
ago.
To that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was always a concern for me. Is just, I'm like, this is dangerous that we have this entire community. And if anything should happen, we're in trouble. Because the reason Soundgasm exists or how it came into being is that everyone was on SoundCloud. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And then SoundCloud decided no erotic content and overnight purged all everybody's content.
Yeah.
Now, most newer that's basically why Soundgasm was created as a replacement for getting kicked off. And then you had, is it Imgur? I think I can't remember. There was, there was some other content out there that also got purged. People were kind of stashing audios, and that got purged. And then, of course, more recently, you had the script bin.
Yes.
Right. The other thing that happened that upset a lot of friends of mine, and again, those that are newer won't be aware of this, but it was a website called GWARU. It was a Russian bot site that somebody set up.
Yeah.
And it was it's a pretty simple. I went and looked at some of the information and code, and it pretty much, when you post it on Reddit, if you had a certain username, so somebody was actively saying track these usernames. And so anytime you posted, the bot would simply read Reddit, find the Soundgasm link, and download the audio.
Yes.
So this website was mass copying content.
Yeah.
And, you know, many of us made a big stink. I actually looked at what it would take to file a DMCA request from the U.S. To the Russian host. And what the cost was going to cost me about $300. Which was fine. I started that process. A lot of us made noise to the owners and admins of the site, and they claimed that they shut it down. And it was an ugly site, but what was interesting is it was searchable. So that was interesting, because they had made it up, the tag data to the audio, right?
Right.
A feature that Reddit doesn't have very easily. So you can kind of search through the posts on Reddit, kind of. I mean, the Reddit search thing sort of works. Yes. It's gotten a little better, but it's still quirky at best. But this site, the searches actually worked pretty well. And now you've got, at this point, you have other search engines that guys have built, or I shouldn't say guys, but the people have built, the script searching engine and some other things like that, that now do the same thing. But this one was mass copying stuff out of Soundgasm. Anyway, I had a lot of particularly female friends that were pretty upset, because it was mostly women. Like, none of my stuff was copied. Nobody wants to back up my voice. But a lot of my
wonderful female friends. We need to put a pin in that, because I need to follow up on a comment with that. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Well, a lot of my female friends and collaborators had all of their content, including all of their personal content and sometimes private content, and I don't know how that happens, taken and copied. Yeah. And so I had several friends that exited Reddit being so upset over that issue, and were really felt really violated and traumatized by basically their content being wholesale stolen, right?
Yeah.
And hosted elsewhere. Now, the reality is, again, like you said, we're a little older. Like, this has been copying of content goes on the internet. I mean, this has been happening since, the earliest days. It just is. So I sort of accept the fact that that potentially exists out there, but still I understand the feeling. So, I realized, okay, there's no other hosts. There are, there's not really a way to sort of contribute or participate in the development of the current host, which is, I respect,
Sure.
And so I started talking to some of the closer collaborators, Redditors, and then also to several moderators about, what would be involved in, creating another host. And it was interesting conversation, very interesting, because I was immediately attacked very viciously by a lot of people for even suggesting that there should be another host, which, in light of this last weekend's, pretty damn ironic.
Oh god!
But nonetheless, there are some people that were extremely nasty to me. Told me I was an idiot.
This is what I don't understand why for what was their reasoning for being negative or disregarding your offer or your suggestion?
Well, it wasn't an offer. It was just a, hey, would it be possible to even think about? Could we design another site? And if so, what might you want on it? I mean, that was kind of the conversation. And it was, how dare you? How you unknown piece of shit? How dare you? Kind of thing. And I'm like, what?
I don't understand.
And a couple people that were friends with me came to my defense. And the conversation was on a Discord server. The conversation got so ugly that all of the moderators jumped in and shut down the conversation. And I basically left and have never been back. actively.
I'm sorry because, that happened, actually.
Well, I was just like, what the hell? Like,
just putting an A out there. What do you reckon?
Yeah, right. I mean, again, to me, it's like but I come from a business solutions world. It's like, hey, what's possible? Oh, well, this is possible. This is possible. I mean, I was literally just trying to say, hey, can we brainstorm some possible solutions? And I was viciously attacked and insulted and told I was stupid and it wasn't possible to do and on and on and on. Privately, one of the moderators who's sadly no longer around reached out and said, hey, I know you were kind of jumped on, but it's actually a good idea. And I said, well, can I ask you some questions? Because I just don't know the background and history, right? Like so they shared with me a little more of kind of the background. I went, oh, okay. And part of what they said is, look, don't even talk about trying to change Soundgasm or whatever. It is what it is. And it's, I said, okay, look, I respect that. If that's like the background, and that's when I learned one guy owned it. I had no idea before that day that it was one guy. And I just mean, it's not like there's a public record anywhere of what goes on,
Yeah.
So that's the day I sort of learned what it was and I thought it was like a community thing. And anyway, so I had my first chance to interact with somebody who's actually seen, because there have been some other trials of the things come and go. And so he was kind enough to give me some advice about, okay, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And here's going to be the points that you're going to run into trouble with the moderators over these issues.
Oh, the moderator? Or
yeah, this particular moderator was quite was quite helpful. and unfortunately, he's no longer on Reddit. Because I would have loved to continue that conversation. And so then I talked to other VAs and like my own frustrations and a few users that I knew and formed a working group of people, some of which had like experience with servers and stuff that I didn't have and others. And from that, again, I'm just applying business development. Okay. I developed what's called a scope of work document and said, okay, here's the scope of what we want to look at it to do. And then I started working on the technical pieces of technical research. And I won't bore you with the details, but let's just say I probably know more about the hosting of Soundgasm than most people do, because I started with, well, what do we have now? And what are the technical backgrounds of it? And what's the net volume? And, a whole bunch of other questions, which, again, it takes some research and a little bit of investigation. But, again, that's business data, right? So it's you can obtain it. So once I had that, then I had the parameters to go out and work on finding either existing software and or developers to build within the scope of work. And that's what I did. And long kind of story short, eventually that's what ends up in Aerocast.
Right.
And so it's still under development. It's not perfect, but it's quite functional. And because of the basic research and kind of thought process that went into the early design, one of the things that's really different about it is not a server-based platform.
Right.
So it's not dependent on a big server to serve all of the audio. It is a cloud-hosted product.
Right.
So there's short version is it's a little more costly in some ways, cheaper in others. So the audios themselves are stored in the cloud, which means that you in Australia get virtually the same service, like I said, in Sydney as they do in Stockholm, because it's cloud hosted through Cloudflare is also on the front end of that to protect it. And then it's actually hosted behind that. Basically, it's on the same kind of server as Facebook, Amazon, et cetera.
Okay.
That's not cheap, but it's how you do it professionally, so to speak. Right. Okay. So I thought, well, let's see what this takes. Like, can this, to me, it was proof of concept. I just wanted to say, almost for fun, like people told me it couldn't be done. And I'm like, well, what does it cost? Oh, it costs that much? Oh, hell, that's just for fun money. And so I threw some just for fun money at it. But once it worked, then I pre-purchased 2 years of services and everything else. So it's prepaid for 2 years. It will work whether I disappear tomorrow or not.
Whether you get, okay.
And if at the end of that, it's viable and people are using it, then I'll make a business decision to keep going, either personally or maybe solicit donations. There seems to be some weird rules about that. But again, as of what, yesterday, I guess they're going to change the rules. So, you know, so we'll see what happens. If people like it and it's working and stuff, then cool. If there's like five people on it, which I can tell you right now, as of 2 minutes ago, there's 962.
Isn't that interesting?
Then, well, I've gained over 100 users a day for the last 3 days. I actually pulled up the back end just to take a look at what's gone on. So, yeah, I started using it in March. Again, one of the reasons is some of my real life people aren't Redditors and they wanted an easier way to get to content. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just text you this link. And they're like, oh, that's cool. That's easy. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine, cool. You know, so that's part of it for me was making my life easier. But then people like you and a few others realized, hey, you can organize and do things differently. It was never intended as a replacement for Soundgasm. That's not what it is. You know, there are people talking about doing that. Cool, great. I hope they do it. That's not what Aerocast is. It's a different product for somebody that wants the features that it offers. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think I've posted my first couple there in June, and I think there might have been five or six of us at that point. I find it really fascinating, given what's happened in the past few days with Soundgasm. That you're approaching 1,000 now.
Yeah, but that's not all creators, because one of the things that's different is that users can make their own playlist and save their own stuff. Yeah. So they don't have to go back and look through, you know, five different users or try and, you know, or whatever. They can actually, so for example, you can save an audio and make a playlist. So I often call Aerocast Kinky Spotify. In fact, I should probably grab the name.
Absolutely. I agree. I've started my own playlist of my own particular tracks, and you know, this whole happy 30th of November if you're in America, happy 1st of December if you've been if you're in my neck of the woods and you've been doing No Nut November, you committed
you made it to December. Congratulations
people.
To you.
Yeah, it's December in Australia. For that purpose,
happy middle of summer to you.
Can I tell you, the little wicked wardrobe, my recording space, gets hot, very hot, and not always a good reason.
I might charge you a picture for this audio then. That sounds about right. So,
well, actually, kidding. I've made a playlist of my, you know, audios pertaining to No Nut November, and it's been wonderful because I've said to my followers, go here. They're all here in one place. And I love the functionality that it's provided. Yeah, it's a little bit more work, but I actually, in terms of, you know, well, it's as much work as you want to make it. And being a creator in this space and uploading, you don't have to. But for me, it's almost like another archive for me to be able to organize my audios and, you know, and I love organizing. That's my background. I love to organize stuff. I love spreadsheets and, you know, this. If somebody wrote a script about, you know, the, I don't know, made a kinky spreadsheet audio, I'd be here for it.
There's a script. In fact, I'm almost sure that Marithwin wrote it a year and a half ago. So,
okay. Yeah, all right.
But that's an example, right? Like I got tired of having to, I mean, and I use a database, but I have to go post to it, create the link, blah, blah, blah. And I actually used to have one in Reddit, but I'd maintained it for like 6 months and then finally it archived. And then that was problematic. And then one day, and I had a table and it looked pretty good. And then one day I edited and, you know, Reddit does what it does and the HTML glitched and I lost 80% of the table. I lost months of work.
Oh no. That hurts me.
So then I went to a separate database. You know, and some people use Google Sheets. I happen to use a product called Airtable. And that was better because that's just a simple database and it works. But still, I'm to update that is, you know, you got all these steps. But right now, you don't have to. Anyone that go, because I leave most of my audios, well, most of them that are for the public, public. So literally you click on my Arrowcast profile, which you can link in your Reddit thing, and there's your entire library if it's all there, right? So I, for someone who's on SoundGasm, it may not make sense to switch over. I get it. It might if they want to, but for someone who's starting out and they want to sort of brand manage and do all those things, it does all that automatically without any extra steps. So in, for me, in the long run, I wanted to make my audio production and track management easier, and it does that.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder, right?
That's me. I want to focus on creating my content, upload, and I'm good to go. And same thing with tags. If somebody likes me and they like me as an MDOM, all they do is click on the MDOM and boom, all my MDOM tags show up.
Yeah.
And frankly, a few other people's.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's another thing, is it's easy for them to find
search
and locate
genre,
other content. Yeah. But for people that don't want to do that, all they do is select the audio as unlisted, and then it behaves, you know, you're not part of the search engine. And so you can use it as more of just more closer to SoundGasm. And eventually, today, that doesn't work like a strictly private audio, but that will be fixed. So eventually it'll be private. There'll be a private option, just like on SoundGasm. So if you strictly want it as a, you know, private secure host, that will eventually be available as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. I love it. I'm really glad to see the uptake that's happened. And I'm not going to lie, I get a little bit of a kick looking at the playlists that have been created by listeners. And I noticed there are a few with my name on it. And I'm like, oh.
I noticed that you actually have a bunch, you know, like Wicked Mommy. There's a bunch of them like that.
Validate me. You know, it's how I kind of feel about it. Please. Yeah, no, I actually, I've had a couple of other VAs message me over the past couple of days just saying, what do you reckon about Arrowcast? I went, well, let me tell you about it. And they're sort of slowly moving content across or uploading content. So, I'm excited to see where it goes.
I honestly wasn't sure what was going to happen because, I mean, like you said, there was, I don't know, you know, there was a few dozen of us who were actively posting a week ago and, you know, the site was super, the site was crazy fast, no matter the time of day, because of, again, the cloud hosting and stuff, you know, no matter where you're at in the world. I mean, it worked, like you and I have tested it at the same time, and it worked as fast for me in the Western US as it did for you in Australia, like, you know, nearly instant, which I was pretty proud of, that the architecture worked as designed. Right.
Yeah.
And so I was a little worried when suddenly I could see all these people. And there did appear to be a little slowdown when people were uploading, because the server, because there is still a server, it's not the host, but it still has to convert all the audios.
Yeah.
And so when suddenly
I did notice a little slowdown, but yes.
But it still wasn't bad. It's like, okay, it took it took like 3 or 4 seconds instead of like a split second, you know?
Exactly.
So I felt pretty good about the fact that it was hammered about as hard as it could be hammered. And, there was a slight split second, you know, 2 or 3 second slowdown. Whoop-de-doo. And the play, like they still play just as fast. Like once they're converted and it gets to the global cloud, which that takes a couple of minutes because it has to convert them. It has to also, there's an Apple protocol because iOS is different. It has to convert for that. So there's actually two versions of stuff depending on what platform. And then it has to push all of that out to the global cloud. So it has to secure all of it. That's the other thing that's different, is because the web display page and the player are disconnected, it's really difficult to copy stuff. Not that people can't, but it's pretty secure, about as secure as you can make modern stuff. Now, I'm sure if it gets very big, somebody will write some kind of, you know, hack and whatever. But right now, really hard to copy anything.
I'm really excited for you, and, you know, on behalf of the community, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. And I think there was a bit of a panic that probably led to the influx, a good part of the influx in terms of creators uploading. Because nothing was loading with SoundGasm, nothing was happening, and them seeing when things were posted to GWA, seeing the Errorcast address in there. And I was just like, yeah, get amongst it, people. So whether they maintain or continue to upload to Errorcast, or, you know, now Soundgasm seems to be a little more stable at the moment.
I mentioned this, but I had no expectation nor frankly wanted to be the primary host. Like I said, it's not... Mm. You know, it's very different than Soundgasm. It's built for different reasons with different goals. And if that aligns with a particular creator, awesome. Yeah. Super happy about that. Right. Yeah. Cool. Great. Yeah. Join us. If it doesn't, cool. No hard feelings. Like, do what you know, do like, what you do.
You.
For
you, you, know? You do you. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, I don't honestly want, like, I assume the platform could handle 100% of the traffic. I don't know that I want to, because at some point that'll start costing me a lot of money, just like it was costing Stealth, right? Like, I don't want to be the solo host either, but I love the idea that there's an emergency backup, because that's really where I come from, is that there's an option.
The risk assessment says, create a backup.
Right? So, I suspect what will happen is a lot of people will make accounts. They'll upload a couple audios, which I'm looking at it right now. I can see that going right now. There's people that are just uploading one or two. And, you know, most of those won't stay, and that's fine. And a few will, and that's great, right? So if you don't want to upload, like, it's built obviously for pictures and kind of branding. And not everybody wants to do that. And I get that. You know, so that's fine. If it works for people, you know, awesome.
It's an option that wasn't... available previously. So
And I think it makes, I'm proud of it. And I frankly hope it encourages, and I know there's some other big names that are working on some supposed hosts. You know, I hope there are other hosts out there, because I think the long-term strength of the community depends on other hosts and other options. I mean, I think the reality is that the erotic audio space is larger than Reddit. It's larger than GWA. Yeah. And it's going to take more hosts. I mean, you know, social media
to accommodate
companies,
that.
Yeah, they continue to evolve, right? So what this looks like today may not be what it looks like in 6 months, let alone 6 years. So the idea that there's other hosts and options out there, I think makes the long-term health of the hobby positive. And so that's one of the things I'm kind of happy about, is that I feel like, at least I hope, that it's contributing to the long-term stability of the hobby, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. I'm excited to see this new development, and, you know, and where it's going.
I've seen several friends and people that are not on GWA that are, you know, monetizing or whatever. Like, they're doing, you know, Twitter, or I know one guy in particular is doing his own website and direct promotion. And I was like, huh.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting. So there are definitely, people out there.
Yeah,
completely outside. I mean, I'm just kind of messing around on Reddit myself, because it's like, it's convenient and it makes sense. But there are definitely people exploring other avenues, the edges of what the erotic audio hobby is. And, you know, this is built also to support that, right? If people want. So it's built to be, you know, usable in a broader sense for people, I hope, but also, you know, it was built around Reddit. I mean, that's the idea, but it can be used in other places, you know, as well. So.
Well, with all of that said, I think that's a good time to end our little chat. I'm really excited for you and for what you've created in this space, not only with the audio hosting platform, but I hope that people who may not have heard you may wander over to your Reddit account and, I don't know, get you in their ears, maybe. Because it's all good fun. Don't come at me with that voice now.
Oh, baby. I would love to have some more good girls come join me.
Mm. Okay. Oof. Yeah. You. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to put a pin in this. You. My kryptonite. I'm pretty open about it. Okay. Thank you so much for having a chat with me and getting in my ears, priest. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Bye.